It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Monday morning in New York City. What is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's tough to say this, but it is the final official week of summer.
Well,
unofficial, because I guess we go into September. But, like, this is it.
This is it, Jack.
It's Labor Day next Monday. Kids are going back to school, so
yeah.
this. And so that means they're not here. Boomer and Geo are out. So it is myself and Willie Colon until 10 o'clock. And we've got lots to do. We're going to get into a lot of football today as we are a week and a half away from the start of the 2025 season. Mm. We've got the baseball we will get into. I got to tell you, though, Willie, number one, great to see you, too. I did 4.5 hours alone yesterday, so this is kind of like easy.
Did you say alone?
Alone.
Here?
And then Keith McPherson did 5 hours alone.
Ooh.
So I'm ready to rock today. 4 hours with a partner. Pretty good.
I talked to you yesterday briefly, and you said that, and I thought I read that wrong.
No.
You really did 5 hours.
4.5.
4 hours, excuse me.
4.5. And it went quick.
Really?
It did. It went quick. You know why? Yankee fans ticked off.
Oh, yeah.
And so the phones, I will tell you.
They avoided a sweep.
They avoided the sweep. You know, this is, to me, so I spent 4.5 hours yesterday talking mostly about the Yankees, a lot on the Mets too, but mostly Yankees.
Yeah.
And so you go into last night's game and I'm thinking, you know, the same way going into Saturday's game, like they got to win. Like they can't lose this game. And then right. Saturday they lost and they lost bad. And really were embarrassed. And I'm thinking, are they really going to get swept by the Red Sox?
What, 2-8 on the series?
They had lost 8 straight to them.
Yeah.
They won the first, lost the next 8, and then they finally win last night.
Yeah.
And I thought the home run in the second inning was almost like a sigh of relief. All right, we got the lead. Let's see. And they did a nice job. They kind of tacked on. They built, you know what they did? They did exactly what the Mets did not do. We'll get to them in a minute because that game, if you're a Met fan, should tick you off in a different way. But, you know, I thought the home run was big. I thought, you know, I talked to Ricky Ricardo yesterday, the Spanish language broadcaster for the Yankees, and we were talking about Carlos Rodon and, you know, you really wanted to see him give you 6 or 7 innings. He got into the 6th. He didn't close out the inning, but for the most part was good. He's had a good season. But to me, this is classic Yankees in that they won last night. Nice way to finish the series. What was a terrible series.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two teams now that you probably are going to stomp into the ground in Washington and Chicago. But really, I think the tell will be when you're done with that, what's ahead are a lot of good baseball teams.
Yeah.
So I think they should do a good job this week of kind of padding their record and making sure their place in the standings is where they need to be. But really, it's what's to come here in September that's going to tell you, I think, more about what this team is.
Well, I think people already know who they are. They should know who they are at this moment. I think, to your point, the fact that the schedule does kind of lighten up for these guys, they can start stacking some dubs. I think right now the question is, what's the true timetable for Judge, right? Throwing Stanton in right field. I think Boone said it best. He's limited, right? When is Judge going to come around and kind of, I think it was a flexor strain or something like that. I'm interested to see how he pans out and when we can really get him back. But I think, to your point, seeing Chisholm get going yesterday, seeing Trent get going, seeing his team kind of have some fight, it helps. And I think right now it's about momentum. Momentum's on our side. How we kind of polish off, what do we got right here? The Nats and the White Sox.
Yep.
It's about morale and momentum, so hopefully we can get it done in that regard.
Now, that having been said, I said the same thing about the Mets last week going into Washington. They won the first game, lost the next two, so, like, who knows? But the Yankees have pretty much been good against bad teams. I know they got swept in Miami. Not that they're a terrible team, but they're also not up to par. So I do expect them to play relatively well this week. And, you know, you've got 7 games. I expect them to win 5, hell, maybe 6, who knows. And then, like I said, I think they would be firmly in that top wild card spot in the American League if they do that this week. We shall see. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, Judge and he's DHing, and, you know, they need him to forget right field for a second because, yes, that's going to be important to get Stanton out and get him back into right field. I agree with that. However, he needs to get going offensively. You know, if you look at the month he's had, he was batting in August. He was batting .218 going into last night's game. He goes 0-for-3 last night, so whatever that average comes down to, I don't know, but right around .210, I would say. So he's had a bad month. He's only hit 3 home runs. He's not hitting for average. He's not really, I think he's got 9 or 10 RBIs. Not awful, but not Judge-like. they need him as much as they need him back in the outfield, and he did some work yesterday before the game, so I think that's closer than we think. They need his bat back. You know, Giancarlo, like, where would they? And I know last night it was about.
I thought Stanton's actually playing for a regular season.
Phenomenal.
He's playing great. Right. He has 6 homers in his last 9 games.
And I know last night was more about Grisham and Chisholm for sure. But, you know, if not for Giancarlo Stanton, where would they be?
That's the problem with the Yankees. When you look at them, listen, I think this is the time of year. There's two type of Yankee fans. There's the fleeting Yankee fan, and there's the diehards who, you know, watch every pitch, everything that's going on with the Yankees. And I think right now it's hard to kind of get a gauge, and you brought it up a little while ago, what they're going to look like when they roll into postseason, because so much of who they are right now is kind of what we saw yesterday. They get home runs in bunches, but they don't bat. They bat poorly in situations. If Judge and the powers be aren't, or if the ball isn't popping off the bat, they fall stagnant, and they don't do good well against good pitchers. So, like, who are the Yankees when it comes down to, lack of a better word, crunch time, you know? And then that's what scares you. We don't have Judge right now in those positions kind of getting us out of the ballpark. We look average.
And that's really been their problem. Like, if you think about the years they have faltered in the postseason, it has been, you know, going up against better pitching, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the 3-run homer isn't there. How do you manufacture runs? It's something they've done a little bit of a better job this year, but for the most part, it still feels like they're home run reliant. Whereas I watched the Red Sox team this weekend that was running the bases great. They were putting pressure on the defense. They were hitting the ball to all fields. I would say would be that inning. What was the inning on Saturday? The Red Sox had one inning Saturday where it was single, you know, a sacrifice fly. It wasn't 2-run homer, 3-run homer. They're capable of it, but that's not what they are. And that, to me, is what really...
The Yankees don't chip away at you. It's either swing or die.
And that's, in a lot of cases.
And that's where we're at right now. And I think sometimes I have to remind myself that we were in the World Series, like we, as if I played on the team. And I know you hate when I say that. But the Yankees were in the World Series last year. And so now you look at them going to the postseason, it's almost like a repeat. Like, you're just hoping they make a run. If not, we're going to make excuses as Yankee fans. Like, well, there's a ton of injuries. There's been a lot of things going on. This is why we didn't fare well in the postseason. So I'm just happy that the schedule right now lightens up for us and we can kind of get some breathing room.
Well, and you should. But again, I think, as you said, there's different levels of Yankee fan. The ones that are, you know, World Series or bust, and I understand that, or I should say World Series championship or bust, which I get. No, they're not going to be satisfied. They're not going to look at this team as such until they do it. Last year, you were a couple of wins away from getting there. They didn't, in a series that they ultimately weren't even in. I mean, that's how it feels. And now you look at where we're at moving into September. And, you know, part of the way I did the show yesterday was, you know, looking at both these teams, you know, like, what are they? You know, are the Yankees true World Series contenders this year? And I would say
no.
No, see, I think they are. I think
in what way?
I think if, you know, you've got, I know Gerrit Cole's out, but you still have Max Fried and Carlos Rodon at the top of that rotation that are making big, big money. You know, that right there should be good enough to match up with the best top two starters on any team.
Yeah, I just feel like we've put so much pressure on those two because of the injuries.
Well, that's why they get paid, though.
I get that, but I think we're talking about longevity, right? We're talking about them rolling us into the postseason,
sure,
and being dominant.
But
how much
do
they have right now?
Let me ask you this, though. How many other teams in baseball would, not both of them, but either of them, be the top guy or the top two guys? I think on almost any roster in baseball, they should be one of the top two.
They're going to be the guy. Right.
They have to be.
Yeah.
So, to me, the Yankees have their top two guys. Now, obviously, they got to go do it, and I know it does suck that Cole's out. You've got Heel, you've got Warren, and I know Warren struggled the other day, but for the most part, he's been pretty good, and you expect Heel to get better. The bullpen is what really, I would say, scares me more than anything with this team, and the lack of consistent offense.
Well, that's it right there. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we've also seen teams that when they get hot, you know, I'll continue to say, a team that's got the likes of Judge, Stanton, and Bellinger, just right there, I don't have to go any further, that should be good enough to not only compete but win games and win series, and yet, you know, they haven't done it.
Yeah, and I also think right now, and we talked a little bit about it off air before we got on the show, Volpe, man. I told you how it seems like the world hates him because he's not very good with the glove right now, having 17 errors on the season. I have empathy for the guy. You know what I mean? Struggling in front of your home fans and being from the city and know how much it means to wear the stripes and for him to kind of be the dark cloud over the team right now, one of them, if you will, doesn't help. But what you said, we have enough, and it should be enough.
It is enough.
Pitching and everything we else got. But it feels like right now, the way we kind of lumbered through this series, that we don't have enough.
No, they didn't look like they should be on the same field with the Red Sox. Friday night, listen, 1-0 game, it is what it is. Thursday was atrocious with all the errors and all the walks. Saturday was, if that's not the low point, and it's weird, because I say the low point on a team that going into last night was still 9 games over .500. Like,
yes.
Think about, you know, where and how we categorize them compared to other teams in baseball.
They're above mediocre.
They are. Yet it doesn't feel like it at times because I guess we expect more. And, you know, last night was important, but it's not the end-all be-all. Volpe sat last night. He's going to sit again tonight by all accounts.
Yep.
Should be back in the lineup
on
Tuesday.
Which is smart, I think, on Boone's part. Like, at some point, it felt redundant and it felt tired and felt tone-deaf. Like, the kid is struggling out there. You got to save him.
However, he also hit a bunch of home runs since the All-Star break. Felt like the bat was going again. Since Ryan McMahon got here, he was playing much better in the field. Until, of course, the last couple of days. So you can at least see where they thought the turnaround was coming. But I think it's good. Give him a little bit of a mental break. I do think, you know, Boone said before the game yesterday, from everything he's seen from Volpe, he seems like a mentally tough kid that can handle it. And I do hope that's the case, because you're right. Playing here, in front of family and friends, not easy.
I know it is. When I got to New York, man, and, you know, I had spent my time, most of my career in Pittsburgh. There is a different expectation. One, for me, because I was at Hofstra and watched the Jets at Hofstra when they had Herm Edwards and Rex and all those guys, and coming here and wanting to, at the time, you know, when I landed at Jets, they had a depleted locker room. A lot of the good guys who were part of those AFC Championship runs were gone. And there was this expectation. I know for me, I put on myself, it was like, man, I'm going to be the one to turn the culture or kind of save it, or at least kind of be an uplift. And when things went south, for a multitude of reasons, I went home with it more than I think I did when I was in Pittsburgh.
Did you expect to do that? Or did that surprise you, that it bothered you so much?
I think it surprised me because I felt extra. And then I was injury prone, so I was dealing with some injuries. So I was also seeing the end of the tunnel a little bit. And that bothered me. So I was really trying to savage or even soak up my last days in cleats, if you will. But Volpe's young, you know, his whole career is ahead of him. But I just knew walking out of the stadium, seeing your family and friends, and I'm kind of having that same down face like, man, sorry. You know what I mean? It's felt bigger to me and I couldn't control it.
So. Yeah, I can't imagine going through what he's going through. It's got to be difficult for sure. But there have been glimpses. We have seen him play well at times. And I do expect him to still be the Yankee shortstop of the field. I think, anyway. I mean, who knows what's coming up the pipeline. But he still, as you point out, is he 24 years old?
Yeah.
And there have been glimpses and there have been, you know, shots of, you know, a good, competent major league shortstop. I mean, at times, really good. This year's been a little different, though I think it has gotten better. That throw the other day, I don't know, CBS Sports Network ran it before, that throw the other day was just kind of like the exclamation mark of what was just a pathetic after. I mean, that was a bad one.
You're talking about the one to second, and he was supposed to go
God,
first.
Yeah, but I'm just like, the Saturday game was so awful.
It was daunting. It was one of those games where I remember going back and looking at it, it felt grim.
I wish I had a camera, like a live GoPro on the, whether it was, you know, Dave and Susan, or whether it was, because I was watching the game with Kay, Cone, and O'Neill.
Okay.
And as they are playing just horrific baseball, I could only imagine like how they're looking at each other. Trust me, I've been
talking about this play right here.
I'm talking about all of it. Yeah, that inning.
The one I was talking about was the Saturday night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the game.
But this one right here is crazy.
This is the Paul Blackburn inning. Who, you know, it's so funny. Tim Hill comes in and he goes, whatever, an inning or two. I forget exactly why. I don't have the box score in front of me. But I'm watching the game and like they get him out. I'm like, nice start from him. Like, I wonder if he could have gone longer. Blackburn goes in there. Now, they just picked him off waivers from the Mets. Blackburn goes in there and whatever. I guess it was the seventh inning. Gets out of the inning. Eighth inning was good. And I'm like, all right, who are you bringing in now? Oh, no. You're going back out there. Think about him for a moment. If he would have gone out there and given the Yankees, I think it would have been an inning and two-thirds. No runs. Mm-hmm. He did his job. They were losing anyway, so they weren't going to win the game. But he could have gone home head high. He goes back out there for the night. He couldn't get anybody out.
Yeah.
And he winds up giving up 7 runs, and he turned out to be the sacrificial lamb in that game in the 9th inning. But, yeah, it was just, that was, I've been in that spot where the team you're calling the game for is not playing well, and you're, like, looking at the analyst.
Like, what do you, where do we go from here?
Can you imagine what, like, just O'Neill and Cone together must have been like, what is this?
I mean, a part of it is, like, you just chalk it up to having a bad day. But that it felt more than a bad day. It felt like they mentally had tapped out, and it was just, they were on repeat.
Which is a bad way to be.
Yeah.
It's a bad way to
especially
be.
Especially this time of year.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no, and especially against the Red Sox. Like your division rival. So that's the Yankee story. It is what it is. We'll get all the sound coming up from CeeLo, who, by the way, ain't feeling good.
What does CeeLo have? Has he been diagnosed?
It sounds like he's got a cold. I don't know.
A summer cold?
A summer cold, yes.
Eddie, do you have any? You gave me the look, Eddie. Like, it may be. You gave me the doctor's look. Like, well, how's he doing, Doc? Like, it's touch and go in there.
Well, yeah, I don't.
Don't ask Eddie. Eddie's an idiot. Eddie came in when he should have died one day and went to the hospital right after the shift. He thinks it's like this badge of honor when you're sick to come in.
Admirable.
So stupid. That's stupid.
Well, that was the pre-COVID mentality.
Oh, I got you.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
You get other people sick.
I didn't care before, but now that I have kids, I'm very like, yeah. I'm like, don't. I can't bring that home.
Correct. Or bring it in.
Like the kid, I just came from the South. I was just down in Mississippi. I just got back this weekend. And my son, I don't know, we all dads had foot and hands and mouth disease. We get my kid caught it, and it's like,
ugh.
Now we're looking at my daughter like, we just want you to get it so we get out the forest already. So we've been rubbing them two together like matchsticks. Like, shut it off.
I'm lucky my kids have never experienced that.
Did they call it Kazaki's disease or something like that? It's something weird.
Kazaki,
yeah. Some kids get it. It's from touching stuff, so you get like blisters on the tongue. You get blisters on your feet and hands. It's nutty.
Sounds lovely.
It's not good. My kid, like, he went to throw down like a taco and like jumped out of his seat, my mouth. So he's all right.
And we're not all dads here. Fliegelman is recently married the last few years. And Eddie has opted to choose, to not procreate, is how he says.
Okay.
So that's all right. Dog dad.
I mean, you're still having sex, though. So you're practicing.
yes.
You're practicing. Yeah. That's good. You're not totally turning it off. That's what I mean. Like, you're still in the game.
No, not celibacy. Just
everything still works.
Chose not to procreate.
Right. I get that. All right.
We'll take a break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us, Bill Ford Tubbs Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on a Monday as we are gearing up for Labor Day. I know the guy to my right is gearing up for football season.
CeeLo?
Yeah, he's a football coach these days.
Are you?
So, have you had exhibition games yet?
Yeah, we had our exhibition last week. Nice 27-0 win. Played our season opener yesterday.
Oh, you started already?
CeeLo, are you the head coach?
No. God, no. No. I'm on the staff.
Wow.
I'm in charge of special teams.
Oh, I thought you was going to say you was like the orange slices in high C.
No.
I was like, that's not.
You're
going to
give me a little more credit
than that. Mom or team.
Yeah,
dad.
I was like, I hope you were that guy.
No, we had a frustrating. We looked like the Jet and the Giant offense yesterday. Couldn't score. Lost 6-0 in the opener. So frustrating.
That's so much for that 27-0 win, huh?
That's right. Mm. Yeah. That's why they call them exhibition games, you know?
That is
preseason
very true.
Football, and the results don't matter much.
Nine. Okay.
You can be like special teams, 9U. It's true. It's basically just make sure we don't turn the ball
over. I was going to say, does a punt go more than 10 yards from the line of scrimmage?
10 would be solid. I think 15, a net of 15 is like, yo, good job. Ready to be out there. All right.
And your son's on the team. What position is he?
He's a running back and a linebacker. So.
All right. So you're giving him the ball a lot, right?
I mean, I'm not in charge of the offense.
I mean, but you're putting a 5 in the head coach's pocket. But hey, let's make sure you get a couple touches.
I kind of wish I did yesterday. But we didn't score. What can
the
I tell
way
you?
It goes.
It was frustrating. So he was frustrated. I was frustrated. I spiked a clipboard at one point yesterday.
Wow.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Hot CeeLo.
Yeah, I was. Got a little
in front of the parents. Did you get a little pushback?
Not because of the players. It's just a call that didn't go our way that I thought should.
Officiate.
So instead of chewing out the official, I took it out on the clipboard.
Now,
so
you didn't get any reprimand for that?
No. It was a way I moved away from the sideline. I mean, it's in view of our parents, but you know,
someone's got to have a video of that somewhere.
I don't think so.
But
I
need a camera roll.
We need that.
I've recently talked about being aware of the adult language in front of the kids. So that was my way of venting my frustration. There were no F-bombs. There was no berating an official at 9U football. But you got to let it out somehow. Plus, I'm not feeling great, so that was part of it too. It was just not.
So you were ornery
in a good heads. But yeah. So. Full wind up spike of the clipboard.
Yeah, I know you got to get going here, but you made a good point. A couple years ago, I went to a Pop Warner game. You'll be surprised how many F-bombs fly around these kids.
By the way, not just the parents.
I was
the kids, too. The kids, yeah.
The kids, yeah. But the parents, I mean, like...
They're crazy.
Terrible.
Out of their mind. I remember turning, I'm like, is this real right now? Because it felt like an office skit. Like, people were just flying around and yelling at the ref and yelling at the kids. And I'm like, man, this feels like a lot, like a pro locker room.
Yeah,
this
it's crazy.
Insane.
Crazy.
So.
Everyone runs a little hot, you know?
Yes.
I'm probably going to be that dad, by the way. As I throw stones, that's definitely going to be me. So
take it away, Chris.
Okay. We've seen it once. We've seen it a million times. When the Yankees hit home runs, they're pretty good. They kind of beat anybody. So you had 4 runs total in the first 3 games against Boston. Only 2 solo homers. Last night, though, was quite the opposite.
2-1. Pitch to Jazz. Swing on deep drive. Right field. It's hit hard. Going, going. Goodbye. Jazz Chisholm, everybody, with a home run tonight. His second 2-run shot.
Dave Sims, 8th inning call here on the fan.
Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah. Our guy. Career home runs number 100 and 101 for Jazz. Trent Grisham also went deep twice, giving 5 on the year. And the Yanks did beat the Red Sox 7-2 to avoid a 4-game sweep at the stadium, which would have been the first for Boston and the Bronx, 4-game variety since 1939. Mm. So good on the Yankees not allowing that to happen. Meaningful night for Chisholm, the 2 home runs, playing with a heavy heart, as he revealed after the game.
It felt kind of surreal. You know, I lost my best friend yesterday, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, today felt like a different type of day, especially with the 100th home run coming today and everything, you know.
So he didn't get into any details other than he was going through a lot over the past 30 hours or so. The cameras caught him a little emotional with Aaron Judge, kind of burying his head in the captain's chest after hitting that 100th career homer earlier in the game off Red Sox righty Dustin May. A little different look to the lineup last night. You had Ben Rice in the 3-hole playing first base, but more notable was Jose Caballero in for Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Here was Aaron Boone on Caballero's versatility and what he has shown since coming over in the trade from the Rays.
I think a winning like championship caliber, like that's like the kind of 10th man you want that can go legit play defense at 4 or 5 different spots and be good at it.
Obviously runs the bases pretty well, too. And late in this game, you got Caballero out in right field for Giancarlo Stanton. Anthony Volpe, who sat at the start, entered defensively at short. So he said, I know you guys touched on this in the open, he's been told he'll sit again tonight and then return to the lineup on Tuesday. So a little soft reset for him. See if they can get him going as the Yankees will open a 3-game series with the Nationals this evening. Good point by Fleegs this morning, because I was like, oh, Schlittler and Lord tonight. And he goes, you got to say it the other way around. Lord Schlittler.
There you go.
Fun. Brad Lord, Cam Schlittler on the mound for tonight's opener. We've got pregame coverage 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. I should mention Carlos Rodon as well, who was cruising.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in the 6th, and I had the game on radio at this point, and nothing against Susan. And she's like, oh, you know, he's got plenty left in the tank. Pitch count's in good shape. And all of a sudden,
was.
31. No, it was. It's just funny how it
a lot of close pitches in that inning, too.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy coming out of the game. A couple of close pitches in that last at bat before he gave up the walk and got lifted. But he did say afterwards, he goes, look, Wells does such a good job of framing back there. They looked like strikes. But I think when he went back and saw it, he realized
you
know, they were close, but not quite strike. So
yep.
One hit allowed, but he couldn't quite get through that 6th inning. Yanks are half game up on Seattle for the 3rd wild card spot and a half game back of Boston, though they are even in the loss column despite losing 3 out of 4 to the Sox over the weekend. Now, Jerry, you mentioned wanting the GoPro in the booth for Saturday's debacle. Well, here was a 30-second audio sample from the Yes feed. Michael Kay, Paul O'Neill, as Game 3 of the series turned into a laugh for Saturday.
Driven deep to left field. Bellinger back, turning, looking, see ya. A 2-run home run by Narvaez. And it can't get much worse than this.
Michael, you said, I mean, every once in a while, you get embarrassed on the field. And this game has just snowballed. Crochet was the thing you had to get through, and he was just too good. But then the Yankees have absolutely fallen apart here.
And that pretty much illustrates what went on, especially in Saturday's blowout. So not a good look through the first 3 games of the series, but they do salvage the finale on Sunday.
No, they had more errors than runs scored through the first 3 games.
5 errors to 4 runs scored. Nah, not what you want, as Joe Girardi used to say.
Not what you want.
In a sense.
It sucks.
And you would sometimes throw that on the back end. It's not what you want, in a sense. Yeah. All right, we go down to Atlanta now. Chance for the Mets to sweep a 3-game set from the Braves. An early 2-0 lead against Bryce Elder and his 6-plus ERA, but that was pretty much it. Offense went to sleep for the most part the rest of the way.
0-1. Line towards center. Here comes Mullins down for a base hit and bounces by. Albies is in. Murphy right behind. Brujan goes to third. Two runs are in. Profar brings them both home, and it's 4-2 Atlanta in the eighth.
That's amazing. Keith Redd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Gregory Soto giving it up in that frame, and the Mets on their way to a 4-3 loss. Now, they did get a Juan Soto RBI single in the ninth and had a few cracks at it with Alonso and McNeil, but both popped up. 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 aboard for the game.
This game was lost to me in the third and fourth innings.
Yeah.
When they had opportunities to tack on after the 2-0 lead, and they don't do it. No killer mentality. And then you give the Braves life, and here you go.
And they get a couple of two-run innings. The Atlanta offense did. We covered the eighth there with that two-run single. There was also the sixth inning for David Peterson, who had a shutout going. He ended up not getting out of that frame for manager Carlos Mendoza.
He got a ground ball, and we couldn't turn the double play there, you know. And then after that, you know,
after
you feel like
the ballpark after that.
Running out first with two outs, left on Les on Harris, bloop single there, then a walk, obviously. And then you still feel good with him there and just kind of like lost it there of the last two batters.
Yeah, he ended up with four walks despite eight strikeouts. He gets through 5 2/3, and then the Mets come out of that lead instead of the 2-0 lead. It's tied, and we see what happens in the eighth inning there. But like Jerry said, not able to tack on offensively.
I think Ron Darling said during the game, you know, you go into whatever inning it was, fifth, sixth inning, and it felt like they were in control of the game, but yet you look up, it's 2-0. And where it should have been 4-5-0, and then all of a sudden, here come the Braves. They score a couple of runs, and next thing you lose the game.
Yep. So a chance to finish the weekend on a high note goes by the wayside. Mets come back home now for 3 with the Phillies. You got Kodai Senga and Christopher Sanchez tonight. They're still 1.5 up on the Reds, who dropped 2 out of 3 at Arizona, but they did win on Sunday.
What was the Mets' high mark? The high mark was what, 6.5 game lead in the NL East? Do you remember, Fleegs?
I think it was either 6 or 6.5, yeah.
So you think they were 6.5. Think about these two teams.
Yeah.
The Mets, let's say 6.5 up at one point. They're now 7 back. Mm-hmm. It's a 13 game. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And the Yankees were 7 up, right, at one point. And now they're like 5 or 6 or whatever it is back.
The divisions have gone by the wayside.
The way both have flipped.
Yes, Yankees are 5.5 back, 5 on the loss side with Toronto, and the Mets are 7. And a full 7 on the loss side to the Phillies, who continue to play good baseball, even though obviously what went down with Zach Wheeler, and we learned over the weekend thoracic outlet syndrome, and he's going to have the surgery and everything. So not a good situation for him. So hopefully he's able to come through it from the Phillies' perspective and his own personal perspective. But they will go without him the rest of the way. I mentioned the Mariners earlier. Cal Raleigh with home runs number 48 and 49 in a Mariners win over the A's in Seattle. He sets the record for home runs by a catcher in a single season, passing Salvador Perez. And those were a couple of bombs as well from the right side for him yesterday against Sacramento. NFL roster cuts on the way as we go from 90 to 53 by tomorrow afternoon. Fliegelman and I, go ahead.
Real quick, like they're showing, CBS Sports Network has the highlights.
Of Cal
Where
Raleigh.
Are the fans?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's Seattle.
On nice vacation.
Season. They've had a... Come on, man. They've had a great they've had a really good season. Yeah. I know it's Oakland or Sacramento or Vegas or whatever you want to call
Still
them.
Still divisional opponent.
How is that place not sold out?
I don't know. Something else going on in Seattle yesterday, maybe? I'm not entirely sure.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
But that's where I continue to give props to the Met and the Yankee fan that continue to show up.
Oh, Yankee fans are going to show up no matter what's going
on. Well, that's not true. I'm watching. You go back in the 80s. And Yankee fans didn't always show up.
Oh, I'm not talking about the 80s.
I'm just saying that's not always true. But it's
eventually,
been a very up and down.
Enough, they won't show.
It's been a very up and down season, and yet every game it's they're sold out. So you give them a lot of credit.
That's interesting. You know, now you've got me curious. I kind of want to go and see the Mariners' attendance over the weekend to see if it was just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a sun splash day in Seattle.
See, now this is what's misleading too. You just saw the
ticket sold. That's the problem.
37,550? No way. Not based on what we just saw.
I would say no, but I also don't know what is the stadium. Does the stadium hold 55? Because then you can make the case it's close. I don't know what.
I feel like most stadiums don't. Yeah, wow, 47,929.
Yeah, you're right. 37 is not representative of what we just saw.
No, and that was actually the high number for their weekend series against the A's. Oof. So a little misleading.
Okay.
NFL roster cuts. So Fleegs and I were talking about this a little bit. It is interesting kind of to track what's going to go on with Tommy DeVito here over the course of the next
day. I think he's going to get released.
So. You do think so, huh?
I do.
I
think he'll be put on the... If my guess is he goes to the practice squad and someone grabs him. If I was an NFL team, I'd grab him in a heartbeat.
Well, that's why I figured
if you're the Raiders, you need to grab him.
If they feel that way,
well, maybe they can make a deal.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, you see a lot of these guys that are moving teams over the last week or so for these late round pick swaps.
He's proven he can play in this league.
Certainly from a backup standpoint, compared to some of the other slop we've seen, especially in this preseason.
I don't know that I would want to go into a season with him as my starter, but if he was my backup, I'd feel very comfortable in that position.
All right, now, and I'm sure you guys, I know you'll probably break this down as the show goes on, so I can do a lot of football. So because of what Dart showed, and I know Dable was there, like, well, is he going to be the number two? Yeah, we'll see. He's playing it close to the vest. Because of what he showed, do you keep DeVito and try to trade Jameis?
They said they're not trading Jameis.
Well, I know what they said.
Well, I'm just telling you, I don't know.
Say a lot of things.
Would I trade him? I want him.
DeVito would be the only one that needs to go, anybody. Yeah, you have to understand, nobody knows. I mean, hopefully Russ is the guy, but if he doesn't fare well,
They're going to go to Dart now.
You're a good person to ask.
I don't think they're going to go to Dart.
You don't, if in the first few weeks of the season they don't play well and they're not winning games, you think they're going to go to Jameis before Dart?
I would. I don't. I think you listen. The preseason is one thing. The regular season is a different dog.
I get that.
Yeah, and I think we can't fall in love because the kid has shown competency at the position. I think you got two savvy veterans on your roster at quarterback. You preserve Dart and allow him to grow and flourish within the system. But throwing him out there, when you have Jameis, who has a lot of experience, Russell has a lot of experience, like you have two horses in the stable. Why waste a kid? Well,
and they're going to know better than us when Dart's ready. You know, like we only see what we see in the preseason games, to your point. So, like, they know behind closed doors whether they're going to be comfortable with it. But you know that publicly there's going to be a lot of call and pressure for it. Not that they should cave to that.
No, but because of the way he played.
Right.
You're exactly. Not wrong. You NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You certainly sound like you would want Dart to be the first guy in after
I'm
Russell
just going
Wilson.
Based on what I've seen. You know, like if they're
all right, here's a scenario.
Yeah.
Because you're painting the scenario, they're not playing well.
Or they're not winning games. The schedule's
fair
tough.
Enough.
We know that, you know.
What if they're 1-1, Russell Wilson gets hurt? I think in that case, you do go to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that's probably true. 100%. And that's probably what they're guarding against right now. So, look, I don't want to get too caught up in the DeVito story's fun for obvious reasons. You know, it's just like, it's kind of like.
I hope he doesn't leave.
It would be a shame to lose him for nothing, you know, because he's shown enough. It wasn't just the flash in the pan and the cutlets and everything. He's stuck around. He's found himself a home in Dable's system. He played well in the preseason. He seems to be a really good teammate. Fleeks and I were even saying, like, maybe he doesn't have to leave the market. And the Jets, you know, could, I would say quarterback depth-wise, especially with Tyrod Taylor banged up, they could do, you know, Adrian Martinez and this Cook. You know, I don't know.
I can't imagine a scenario where he just sits as a practice squad player. It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
That's why I would think that there's a market for that, but maybe not with all the bodies moving. And I know the Jets moved on from Martinez, so it's going to be Cook, at least for now, as the third. But a lot of moving parts over the next 24 hours or so. I got to ask you next hour about the latest in the Micah Parsons saga. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, but I know I'm out of time.
So. Okay. Well, we will see you next
preserving
hour.
The voice.
We can talk about Micah Parsons. Feel better, all right?
Thank you.
I swear to God, if one of us gets sick,
look,
I'm already feeling.
I'll just say this. No, stop it. See that you guys get in your head. I have no.
It's definitely in my head.
I've got no fever. No fever. And this has been days now of just upper respiratory crap. So you know.
Oh, so it's behind you.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just like this didn't just come on last night. I'm not in the early stages of it. You know.
At least so you're on the back end of it. It's fine.
I hope so. I would have thought when I left here on Friday, working down the hall at the Upside Down, that I was like, weekend of good sleep. I'll be good to go on Monday. And no,
I will
not
tell
so
you, the colds and the sicknesses for me now are no longer 3 or 4 days.
Yeah,
they're 7 or 8.
This
which
was
sucks.
This was,
well, this is the wave with the kids coming back to school. When your kids, when you throw them in the gin pop,
yeah.
They come back. when they come back, they're riddled with everything.
Petri dish.
There's at least a month or two where the parents can get knocked up with sicknesses.
This was just brought on by Jerry, you understand. You know, going too hard and not sleeping enough.
Yeah, no,
burning the candle at both ends.
I get it.
Yep.
All right, we'll get ready for next hour.
Right, thanks.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us on a Monday morning. Coming up on 7 o'clock, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I was going to do some tennis stuff here, but we were just talking during the break, and the home ownership is really a fun thing. It's really amazing. It's awesome. And by that, I mean it sucks. So I finally, now you're aware of the groundhog situation we had in my house for a couple of years. We talked about that, correct?
Maybe.
Okay. We couldn't get rid of them. Could not get rid of them to save our life. Finally have it figured out. I felt pretty good. There's not been a groundhog sighting.
Groundhogs.
Well, I don't want groundhogs digging up near the foundation of my home. They were getting under the deck and they were making tunnels. Okay. And they can live on the outskirts, but stay away from the house. And they were getting a little too close. So long story short, it was a 2-year battle. And I think we finally won it. It hit me last week that hadn't seen them all summer. Nothing looks disturbed. And there, you would know if they were still around. So, but you know, it's kind of like a baseball team that is good and then can't continue to win. It's like you don't deal well with prosperity. So that was last week. Last week, we finally came to the conclusion the groundhogs are gone. So we're sitting outside on Friday night, me and my wife.
Nice.
Played golf with my son, get home, having a drink. It's Friday night.
Living a dream.
And my wife goes, "What was that?"
Mm.
And I'm looking at him. I don't know. She goes, "Look behind you." She goes, "I think that was a bat." I'm like, "Oh, that's interesting. Okay." And then one flew. I'm like, "Ah, probably just flew from around the house. Not a big deal." She goes, "No, that looked like it came from that thing, the soffit."
Okay.
I'm like, "I don't think so, but let me go take a look." So I go walk out. I'm looking right at it. It's on the top part of the house. Not only did those two come out. Remember the scene? You ever see Independence Day?
Yeah.
Remember when the little planes like took off in sequence?
Yep.
I had that scene come out of the soffit.
Oh.
Eight of them. One after the other came flying out. Like, one was coming, like, at me. I needed a tennis racket or something. And it flew back up. I'm like, we got bats up there.
I don't even know, like, I don't even know if that's real. Like,
I went from groundhogs to bats.
I said this earlier to you when you briefly brought it up. I've never seen a real bat. I've only seen it in a zoo and on TV.
Yeah, me too.
To see a real bat. I don't even know how you...
You have them in your neighborhood. I'm sure of it.
You think I have them in my neighborhood?
Yeah, if you watch at dusk and you just watch the sky, you look for these things, but they fly very erratically. You can see them.
That's where they come out. Like. And that's right. They come out at dusk for the water, and that's when they're...
And they, you know, hunt their bugs.
I'm telling you, Eddie, right now, if I saw a bat in real life... It won't be good for Willie Colon. I may have a stroke. I don't have that in me. I'm not.
No,
I know I'm big.
No,
I know I am strong. But if I see a bat, the Bronx. There's no bats in the Bronx. I'm not. I don't know how do you process that in your home? And I know for a fact if I have a bat and I told my wife that we have bats in the house, she's gonna be like, get the gasoline. We're burning the whole house down.
We're not burning the
house. We're going to move on from this. The house is no longer ours.
Well, they're actually very, very beneficial. They eat a lot of mosquitoes.
Which is fine. I don't want them. They're not, and I don't know.
And this isn't like you get the Louisville slugger and you go whacking upstairs. Like, how do you handle that?
You can whack upstairs. I'm just trying to get rid of the bats. And so what I don't know is where they are living and where they're coming out of. There's a soffit and it's a small little opening that they came out of.
Yeah,
but it's like above the ceiling of the second floor of the house.
Do you have it in your manhood to go up there and
no.
start knocking, some, there. Knocking no. the heads off some bats?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't really know where they are. So the attic
but if you
we
did.
Use... No, I wouldn't. I would never.
What
no,
would you do?
Nothing. I called New Jersey Coastal Wildlife. They're coming today. That's what I do.
And
there's other companies that you could
like. You call.
So that's one place I call. There's a couple of others. If the bid comes in way too high, I don't know what it's going to be. But that's what we do. I'm with Eddie. I know they've got. There's benefits to them. I don't want them. God forbid they get in the house.
They're already in the house.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that they're in the house.
They're not just hanging out on top of your house smoking a cigarette. I mean, they have to be in there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know exactly where they are, but they're not in the home.
And they don't want to be in your house. They just...
They don't want to be in my house? Then why are they in the house?
Well, they're outside. So that's where they had their, their roost.
There's no curiosity in you to go figure out...
No. I'd have to go on the roof. I ain't going up there.
Okay.
I don't like heights, number one. Number two, if I went on the roof and they flew at me, I'd be gone. Because I'd roll off the roof right onto the cement. There you go, epic death.
Okay. And this is how weird I am, Willie. I once hung a little box that was to try to encourage bats to roost.
So you want the bats, Eddie?
Not like not on the house. You don't want kids. I used to have a tree in the back of my house, which is not there anymore. But I hung this thing to try to encourage bats to roost there.
Now, I wonder if I hung something in the back of the house, if they would leave and dwell there.
Well, you could ask the guys that are coming today. I'm sure they know about bat houses.
Oh, for sure. No question. And again, I know they're beneficial.
They're not good-looking creatures.
They're like flying rats.
Yeah. They look like wallets with wings. They're ugly.
They ain't great.
Yeah.
They ain't great.
I just couldn't imagine like trying to handle one of those.
I wish I had the camera on the other night, because that would have been... It was like something out of a movie.
So the family's not afraid to go outside.
No, they are
not. Just like, whatever.
And I was fine. Like, I went outside, like, got home from, you know, what I was doing yesterday. Oh, that's not good. I don't want to see this.
What's this?
Steve in Staten Island, what's up?
What's up, Jerry? How you doing, man?
How are you?
All right, so listen. I had a friend, same as you. He thought he had bats. We're hanging out in front of his house. And he goes, hey, guys, I'm going to go inside for a second. Why don't you guys keep your eye up at the top of that house for me, right? And we're all hanging around, and we see a bat come out while he goes inside the house. Look at that. And then we see a second one. And then we see a school of bats come out of the ceiling, right? Like, had to be like 70, right?
Oh, God.
This was in Hillsborough, New Jersey. And like you, he's like, okay, I got to get rid of these things. He called somebody. And they said, "Yeah, there's nothing we could do. We're not allowed to take them out of your attic."
Right, so here's why:
get the flamethrower.
No, get the flamethrower right now. No, no, Steve's right. So, and this is what I learned yesterday when I called the company. There's only 2 months that they can do something about it. It's August to October because they're a protected species. So Steve is correct. If that was in May, ain't nothing you can do about it. But because I actually fall within the 2 months, they can come try and lure them out and then close up the area.
Right. It's like once their young have left and all that stuff, that's not in the breeding period. I understand all this.
I'm going to tell you I don't care what season it is. Just to be very frank, they will just have to cut the Parks and Recreation people will just have to come for Willie Colon. The day I discover bats is going to be a problem. I don't give a damn where, what month, what holiday. I don't care, whatever. I'm handling the bats. I will be that guy.
Here's Matthew in Staten Island. What's up, Matthew?
What's up, guys? Quick story for you. Yeah, I was sleeping one night in Staten Island, obviously, and my wife jumps up. She had a tendency every once in a while to, you know, jump up in the middle of the sleep, like sleep talking kind of thing. She goes, Matt, something in the bedroom. I'm like, listen, go back to sleep. Everything's good. I look up into like my ceiling fan, two bats going nuts, flying around in our bedroom.
Oh, no.
Going nuts, like having sex or just like playing around?
Your bedroom?
In my bedroom, yes.
Oof.
Like, you can't get rid of them, it sounds like.
What did you do?
I ran downstairs. I got the pool skimmer, found them on the wall of my stairs going up to the second floor. I tracked it with the pool skimmer, wrapped it, like wedged it against like a plastic Tupperware bowl, and walked it out to the backyard and got rid of it.
Wow, I'm impressed. You know what? I'm impressed.
So it sounds like you need to keep a lacrosse stick in your house.
Maybe. Or Mano Ginobili, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, Mano. Yeah, he did do that thing with the bat. Didn't he like pick it up and toss it?
Yeah, he swatted it out of the air, and which I think killed it or seriously hurt it, and then he just kind of picked it up and gave it to a stadium person.
Yeah, Mano's from Argentina. He's seen it. He's been through some things. Yeah. Right. How I always feel when I see people handle things like a mice or a rat or a bird or something like weird. I'm like, that person's been through some things that they don't have any fear.
Well, how about the people that trap the alligators down south?
That just happened.
Are you crazy?
I just came from Mississippi. They pulled like forget the size. It was the size of an ottoman. It was huge. And this guy was just pulling it out the water. I'm like, the guy's different. Those are different human beings.
It is different. I know we have to take a break real quick. But when I was, I would say 10 or 11, we had, my parents in our house had, I'm trying to think what it was. My dad wasn't a hunter by any stretch.
Yeah, same.
But they had some hunting things on the wall. Uh-huh. And one was like, it wasn't a stuffed, I forget what it was. but my mom's sleeping on the, taking a nap one day on the couch. She wakes up and she sees like a squirrel on the TV. And her first thought is, oh, that's the wall I'm sleeping. And then it started moving.
Oh, no.
Squirrel in the house. My dad spent 4 hours with a baseball bat.
That's me. That's me. I'm that guy. That's me.
They ultimately didn't kill it. They got it out. But he grabbed the bat. He's running after this thing. Oh, my God.
I'm your dad.
Could you imagine?
I'm your dad. That's me. I would not go to sleep to that thing's
I think
gone.
The squirrel came in through the there was a crack in the chimney, you know, gate or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And it got through and came in through the chimney.
See, my wife wouldn't let me sleep until the thing's out the house.
I get it. Yeah. She might go sit in the car and lock the doors.
Oh, she would take the kids and pull up to a Holiday Inn and be like, I'll see you in the morning.